within 30 minutes, the drugs, the alcohol, the fornication, the bad eating habits, the cigarettes, the drinking, the bar hopping, the rock and roll. Played music for most of my life, up to the age of 31. I was heavily involved in music. And within those 30 minutes in Drummondville, Quebec, God not only saved me, but delivered me because of that word, sozo. So from that time, 1994, up to 2007, did really good, never went back to my vomit, never went back to the sin, never backslid whatsoever, whatsoever, by the grace of God. Prayed a lot in tongues. God got me in praying in tongues a lot right from the beginning. I got my baptism in the Holy Spirit. Not too long afterwards, I got back in Oshawa. But in 2007, what happened is I met a pastor, and he tried to get us to fast for 3 days. And as far as I was concerned, Pierre did not need any fasting. And I was thin enough as it was, and was 170 pounds. So what happened is when he gave us a sheet of paper, I threw it away when I got back home, threw it in the wastebasket. But God had something else in mind. In 2008, what happened was I was listening. I'd been off for a year. I quit my job in 2007 to fulfill the calling that God had called me to missionary enterprises. What happened was I was listening to a tape by a gentleman, a preacher called Gary Carpenter. He's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I just finished listening to the tape, and he was talking about a missionary who's a missionary to, his name is David Hogan. It is a missionary to the jungles of Mexico, and he works among the witch doctors and stuff like that. And this man does a lot of fasting, and he sees amazing things happening out there. So what happened was, as soon as I put the cassette down, as soon as I put the headphones down, because I was on my way to visit a brother in the hospital, which is like 5 minutes from my house, Oshawa Hospital, and the tape wasn't even on fasting. He just mentioned a little bit of fasting. As soon as I put the tape, the machine down to go to the hospital, because I had a prayer meeting to go after that, the Lord prompted me to start fasting. It was an impression. It was pretty strong. All I got was fast. So I've learned over the years, when God tells you to do something, you get on it right away. Because it's always for your good. You know, I was telling somebody the other night, after everything that God has done for me, everything, why would I say no to something He's asked me to do now? Because after He's proven His goodness over and over and over and over and over to me. And probably the greatest one of all that is saving me from going to hell for eternity. Now, we don't hear enough about that, but we will. We will. We need to hear more about hell. But anyhow, so right away, I did a one-day fast, and I didn't go in much longer than that. I did a two-day fast, and I thought I was dying. And yeah, right, I wasn't dying. I did 2 3-day fasts, and I said, this is ridiculous. God never asked me to do a 40-day fast, but I had in my mind to do a 40-day fast. And I knew nobody who's fasting except for the pastor. He did the 3-day fast back then. And I heard about 40-day fast. I knew Jesus did a 40-day fast. And you believe it or not, there are people out there that teach today, because Jesus did a 40-day fast, we don't have to fast. He fasted for us. You believe that's out there in the church? That's ridiculous. You know? Okay, He went to the cross, so we don't have to go to hell. But because He fasted doesn't mean we shouldn't fast. No, He set an example for us.
Amen.
So all I know is I did my first 40-day fast. And it was one of my worst experiences I ever had. And I'm going to get into that a little bit, because we got to be honest, right, with ourselves and with the people. So I did a 40-day fast, and then I took a 2 months recovery. I did another 40-day fast. And my second 40-day fast, I ended up my last 5 days in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I met this gentleman I had heard, Gary Carpenter, and a guy out there, he preaches with Dave Orbison. They do a lot of fasting in their church, lots of fasting. They got a lot of miracles out there. And so anyhow, I just want to share a little bit of that, how God got me into the fasting. You know, it's good that You know, pastors and leaders are encouraging people to fast. We need to hear that. That's why I'm very encouraged about being part of this local body. You know, we need to hear this. We don't hear enough about this. What is happening here is very encouraging to me. Plus with the tongues too. You know, that's what really connected us. You know, with the speaking much in tongues and things like that. So I just want to share a few things here. A bit of an exhortation before I get into this short teaching about, right from the word about fasting. First of all, the fasting will only do certain things for you. There's certain things in the Bible God has given us. We call them keys. I call them keys. Fasting is a key. Praying in tongues is another key. Sowing the word, speaking God's word is another key. Meditating the word is another key. Private worship is another key. So fasting will do certain things that tongues can't do. And tongues will do certain things that fasting can't do. Confessing God's word will do something that fasting can't do. So I've learned over the years to do them all. I had a pastor, well, same guy, he said, you know what, you're an extremist. I said, I am an extreme. And he said, God has made you that way. Every time I got into something before I got saved, they knew Pierre. If Pierre was going to go out to get drunk, he would go get drunk. If he was out chasing women, he was out chasing women. I had a one-track mind. And when it came to the things of the Lord, I brought that into my salvation. I didn't lose it, thank God. I didn't lose that. I became very, very focused, which you talked a lot about in the last couple of weeks, about being focused about the calling and stuff like that, and our walk with the Lord. So now, I really encourage people, if you're going to do a lot of fasting, I really encourage, now you said something really good, Emmanuel, the other day. It's good to get quiet when you're fasting. It is. So you can hear that still small voice. You know? But at the same time, we're going to get into it. Matthew, it talks about, Matthew 17:21 talks about prayer and fasting. You know? So something I learned from the Lord and from Dave Roberson was to pray in tongues a lot while you're fasting. Eat the word while you're fasting. It's going to make the fast go a lot quicker and a lot better when you're preoccupied with different things. Things that are conducive to growing up from being a child of God into become a son of God, one of God's sons. You know, because in our spirit, once we were born again, once our spirit was recreated, that's where our sonship is. We've got the very same nature that Jesus had when he was born in his humanity. That's what makes us sons of God. Okay? That's where our standing is. That's our identity in Christ. I'm in union with the new Adam through that new nature. But the problem is, when I got born again, my soul never got born again. My soul is my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, my feelings, my desire, my will. That never got born again. Now, I experienced some, to a certain degree, of deliverance in my soul. But this is what I really want to get into here a little bit, because I think there's a great misconception about fasting. And Pastor Emmanuel touched on that a little bit before I came up here. God is not the problem. God is not the problem. I hear still people to this day, there's such a misconception about the sovereignty of God, it's ridiculous. God is not the problem. God is not the problem for what's happening in the world. That's mankind, and that's the God of this world. Even what's going to happen in the last of the last days, God has nothing to do with that. I've read books, I've heard preaching where God has preordained certain things to happen in the last days to get people's attention. We still have prophets today talking about how America is about to be judged by God. You know what? If God was about to judge us, there'd be no hope for us. My goodness, with the terrorists out there, with the leaders that we have in high places, so-called high places, and God is going to bring judgment upon us on top of that, you know what? There'd be no hope for us. No, God is not the problem. God allows what we allow. And a lot of people don't understand that. That's what Matthew 16 is all about. Whatever you bind on earth, what is already bound in heaven, the whole thing. I've given you keys of the kingdom. You know? So we have to understand that. And fasting has a lot to do with this. with the other keys too. I don't just teach on fasting. I teach a lot about praying in tongues and sowing the word, because he is the word. So, Pastor Emmanuel, you talk a lot about Galatians 4:19, Christ be formed in you. You know, we hardly hear. That's one of the first verses God gave me in 2007. I said, I never seen that verse before. What does it mean? Well, God was very quick to show me, what does it mean? You know? So anyhow, the benefits, this is what the Lord gave me. I was going through a really tough time. I've not only done 40-day fast, I've done 30-day fast, I've done 25-day fast. I've done a series fasting. I've done like 5 days, I'd eat 2 days. I do 3 days, I'd eat 1 day, stuff like that, you know. But one of the first things God showed me one day, the benefits of fasting far outweighs the trials of fasting. Mm-hmm. Meaning the results, the end results are going to far outweigh some of the stuff you're going through, Pierre, this time. That really encouraged me, okay? Something else is that fasting has to do with your soul, not your spirit. Your soul, there's nothing wrong with your spirit. The Bible says we're born of incorruptible seed. That's your new nature. The Bible says that we're partakers of the divine nature. The Bible says that we are a new creation in Christ. The Bible says we're holy, blameless, beyond reproach in Christ. Where is that? In my new nature. I was in my bed. I was laying in my bed one night, and I was having a really bad day. The fasting was really getting to me, and I just said, okay, just go lay down, just pray in tongues. And I did, and not too long after that, God spoke to me, and he said, you are the righteousness of God in your spirit, not in your soul. And that was back in 2008. So that really opened up a lot of understanding where I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in my new nature, not in my soul. But God, what he wants to do, he wants to bring everything that we are in our spirit, he wants to bring it all into our soul so that we can actually walk it out as Jesus walked his life on this planet. Did you know that we can actually live the very life of Christ on this planet? I don't see it in the church overall. But that's what Colossians 3:4 says. Christ, my life. The life of Christ is to be my life. But the thing is, though, once I got born again, recreated in God's image, as we were created back in the garden, that creation, that new creation, has to be transferred over into my soul. And once that the spirit of man and the soul of man comes in unity, then you're going to start seeing some really big things happening. You're going to start seeing the very life of Christ being lived on this earth. That's what John G. Lake walked in. That's what Wigglesworth walked in. That's what Catherine Kuhlman walked in, and many others. F.F. Bosworth, a lot of men. George Mueller, there's a few other ones. They walked in that. So that's where God wants to bring the church. Something else God showed me a few years ago was fasting is God's x-ray machine. It's his x-ray machine. It's his x-ray machine so that we can see ourselves as we really are, not in our spirit, but in our soul. My first fast, my first 40-day fast, I began to see things inside of me that I said, where in the world is this all coming from? I started seeing attitudes that I recognized I had before I got saved, that I never got free from on that day I got saved. So a lot of things began to come up to the surface. You know what happens when you take away food from a dog who's hungry? But all I know is you take a bone away from a hungry dog, he's gonna bite your hand off. Okay? Well, when I started going without food, I began to get really grumpy. And I really started getting mean to my dad, my mom. I would just start snapping at people. I said, what in the world is going on here? It was the fasting affecting my soul, affecting my feelings, my emotions, all these different things like that. Trust me, since 2008, we're in 2016, I got so free in overreacting, people saying things about me. I used to just bite back, and now you know what? I hardly respond anymore because of the fasting. Because of we call that mortification transformation. Being transformed into his image. In the soul. You already got the spirit. You already got the image of God in your spirit. We need to transfer that image into the soul of man. And once you get this image of God into the soul, that's where Christ formed in you, be formed in you, then you're going to start walking in your sonship. And that's what the earth is groaning about in Romans 8. Mm-hmm. For the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what it's waiting for. That's what God is waiting for. So that we can walk in our sonship. Something else the Lord told me was, yes, fasting will introduce yourself to your sense man. I got a big sign in my basement downstairs where I study. Adversity introduces a man to himself. It's true. It's when you go through hard times, when you see what's really on the inside of you. That's when you're going to see them all. When everything's going good, everything's fine. You don't overreact, you don't react, whatever. It's when things go really bad, then that's when you really see what's on the other side of you. Mm-hmm. So I've translated that, fasting exposes myself to what I really am in my soul, not in my spirit. It's very important to see what's inside of your soul. Because in the soul is where all the strongholds are. We don't hear a lot about strongholds these days. There's a few good books out there. There's some good teachings on it. But there's not enough about strongholds. And the thing is about a stronghold, it's something that has been built over years. Circumstances, bad experiences with people. I don't really want to get into this now, but I mean, even sexual abuse and stuff like that. People built strongholds. Even I had strongholds before I got saved. I built them over the years, and I carried them into my walk with the Lord. One of the biggest strongholds for me was my relationship with my early father. It affected my relationship with my heavenly father. I thought my heavenly father was the way my earthly father was. Every time I would do something wrong, my dad would get mad at me. Every time I did something wrong, I thought God was mad at me. That was a stronghold built inside of me. A lot of men got a problem with that. Yes. Books have been written on this. You know? So I began to realize that I had strongholds inside of me. I had strongholds towards women. I realized I had an attitude towards my mother. My poor mother. You know, who prayed for me for 15 years. And that's when the Lord began to teach me of the fasting. The fasting is going to pull down those strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, I believe, talks about pulling down strongholds. The word thought is in there. It has to do with the mind. The mind has to do with the soul. So, anyhow, I just want to talk a little bit more here about the fasting in the Old Testament versus the fasting in the New Testament. There's a world of difference. Because a pastor, a friend of mine, said a few years ago, he said, notice next time you watch Christian TV, a lot of preachers, they preach a lot in the Old Testament. And there's a lot of good things to preach out of the Old Testament. But he said there's a lot of preaching based upon the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. You know? And I didn't realize that until he said that. And then over a period of time, I realized that we made much about some of the Old Testament saints. And there's great things that we can learn from them. But the problem is that we're post-cross, not pre-cross. We're on this side of the cross. And the cross has changed everything. There's not one Old Testament saint that knew God as their father. Not one. Not one. Since the fall of man. There's only Adam, right? Luke 3:38, son of Adam, son of God. The rest of the genealogy going back, nobody was the son of God. And nobody was called a son of God until Jesus came as God's firstborn son in his humanity. From his pre-existence as being God himself, God the Word. So nobody in the Old Testament knew God as Father. They couldn't because they weren't a son. They were Old Testament saints. So now we've got this whole thing in the body today. We still got a real problem with that concerning Old Testament saints versus New Testament saints. So the fasting in the Old Testament, you got to be careful with that. Because what the fasting did in the Old Testament is not what the fasting does in the New Testament. There's a world of difference. It really is. And I don't have a whole lot of time to get into that. But all I know is I'm going to share a few things here. Fasting will empower you to believe right. A lot of believers don't believe right when it comes to God. If you think God's mad at you every time you make a mistake, you've got wrong believing. If you think God is going to use disease or allows disease to teach you something, that's called wrong believing. That's a misrepresentation of God. Okay? Something else that fasting will do, fasting will empower you to believe what God believes. That's called the faith of God. People got a hard time with Mark 11:23. Have faith in God. In the Greek, it's have the faith of God. Okay? There's books written against this. Well, God showed me himself. Faith, when God talks about faith in the New Testament, even the Old Testament, it's always what God believes. So fasting will get rid of wrong believing. Fasting will get rid of unbelief. And we're going to get into that if I've got a couple minutes here. Something else, fasting will empower you to become a believing believer instead of being an unbelieving believer. You shared that the other day. I think you got that from me, I think. And that's good, because you said I was rubbing off on you, and you're rubbing off on me too. Okay, brother? It's good to rub off on one another in the good things. You know? But the Lord used that term with me one day. He says, you are, in some areas of your life, you are an unbelieving believer. I had some things happening in my body a few years ago. And out of my mouth, God spoke to me. He says, sickness is not the issue, Pierre, but unbelief. I was full of unbelief when it came to healing. And then God began to talk to me. You are an unbelieving believer. My church is full of unbelief. I share with a good friend of mine, the one who took me to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2008. He's an apostle, Michael Bryan. And the first day I met him, I said, you know, I said, I walked by sight for almost 13 years. He says, you? He says, most of the church is still walking by sight to this very day instead of walking by faith. So fasting will do a lot of things concerning your believing, your unbelief, little faith, all these different things that the Bible talks about. Believing also, fasting will affect or will empower you to believe something that God has already done at the cross. See, we're asking God for more power. Well, Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to his power that is already at work within me. So why are we asking God for more power? Why are we asking God to heal us? Why are we asking God to prosper us? Why are we asking God to strengthen us when he's already done all those things in Christ? That was a rude awakening for me. That changed my whole walk with God. I had been asking God to do things for me that he had done at the cross. I was asking God to do things for me that God had already given me back in the garden. And one day I was in the shower, and I was just taking a shower, and God showed me that I was back into the garden because of the new Adam. Christ is referred to Adam, right? The second Adam, the last Adam, right? So that connected me with the first Adam back in the garden. And he showed me that I was back into the garden. And the Lord told me, he says, Pierre, he said, get this foundation right, and you'll have the rest of your theology right in the New Testament. So I had to base my theology based upon what God's original plan was for man back in the garden. And back in the garden, there was no sin, there's no disease, and there's no poverty, there's no lack. There's no lack. So that's where God wants us to live out of. I heard a good preacher, I'll mention his name, I love mentioning names, guys I'd agree with, Keith Moore. He's a Word of Faith preacher. I love his teaching. He's a great teacher. And he said, the only thing that we have not been redeemed from is persecution. And he's right. Persecution. The Bible's full of references to being persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake and all these different things. But besides that, don't come and try to tell me that my Abba Father wants me sick. Don't even go, I'm not even a father. Would you? I mean, even on a bad day with your children, would you even think of wanting one of your children to be sick to teach them something? Give me a royal break. That's sad. People teaching that about my God, about my Father, my Abba Father, who sent Jesus to die on the cross so I don't have to go to hell, so I don't have to be sick, because he bore my diseases, Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. Come on, give me a break. Read the whole ministry of Jesus. Healing, 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 healing. So we got lots to learn. The fasting will help us This is really good. I just got that yesterday. He gave me this yesterday. Fasting will empower you and not weaken you. Fasting is about empowering you and not to make you weak. See, we think that because we're going out without food, it will weaken you. I know what I'm talking about. I had moments where I got off my chair too fast and I almost fell over. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. But you know what? I've learned to deal with those moments. And something else I've learned also is that every time I felt like quitting, God would say, don't quit. Because when you don't quit, you're pulling down strongholds. I've been through some moments, real moments where I had to leave the house. I could have screamed. I'm going to be very honest with you. And the Lord gave me my first dream was I was taking a shower. I was on the 401 with the cars, the traffic going back and forth. I was taking a shower. And it was just top part of my body. And I woke up from that dream, and the Lord gave me the word, be transparent with people. So I'm going to be very honest with you. My first 40-day fast, I got so upset with God that I felt like urinating on the Bible. I got so upset with God because I had things coming out of me. I had blamed God for a lot of things after I got saved. I had blamed God. Why didn't you save me early on in life? If you would have saved me early on in life, I would have went through all the drugs. I went through 16 years of drugs. Got kicked out of 4 high schools, the whole thing. And I got mad at God for a few years. And then I finally got free from getting mad at God. I got mad at myself. And I got mad at the God of this world, small g, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know? So God is not my problem. God is not my problem at all. I got a couple minutes left. Am I okay? Yeah? 5 minutes? Okay. I want to get into this here. Matthew 9. Let's go there real quick. Very important here. We have to see this. 9:14-17. I won't read through the whole thing. Very clear about fasting. Everybody knows it. At the last part of 15, and then they shall fast. Usually most people, they just stop right there. When you go into verse 16, 17, it talks about old and new wineskins. Now, I've heard kind of a bit of teaching on that, not a whole lot, but I've heard a little bit. And I hate to say this, but most of what I heard is wrong. Now, God put this together for me a few years ago. Key words in 16 and 17 is old and new. Old and new. If we will go over to Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. I know by heart, I'm still going to turn there. That's why I didn't bring my Amplified. It's too wordy sometimes to be teaching. King James has putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Key words in there. Old, new. Same words found in Matthew. Very interesting. I got to be honest with you. I have hardly heard any teaching on how to put off the old man and how to put on the new man. And I hate to say this, that I see more of the old man preaching from pulpits today than the new man. Because the new man is Christ himself. But see, I'm to put on that new man. Now people say, well, you're already in Christ here. Yeah, we are in Christ. But we're in Christ in our spirit. The new man has to be put on in our soul. You're going to say, well, can you prove that to me? I can prove it to you already. Another reference, the old man, new man, just so you guys want to write it down, is Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Okay? That's the other reference in Colossians. So, let's deal with the soul here a little bit. Let's go to James 1, 21. And 25. Now remember this. Your spirit. Titus 3:5. I won't go there. Go to James 1:21-25. Titus 3:5 talks about being saved by the washing of the renewing and the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Well, what part of you was renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit? Your spirit. And see, this is where God showed me. I was back in the GERD. That word regeneration, literally, the Greek, it's probably one of my, it's probably the favorite word, my favorite word in the Greek Testament. Literally, that word regeneration, re is the Greek word palin, not Sarah Palin, palin. It's got the idea of reversal. Or again, like re, right? Repeat something, whatever, you know. Rediscover, you know. Regeneration. Literally, that word generation in the Greek, it's Genesis. If you don't believe me, go to your home, go to your dictionary tonight, look it up. It's the word Genesis. Regenesis. God put us back in the garden. Not physically, but spiritually. We are back in that garden. And I am planning on eating everything in that garden except for that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No way. I'm not going to eat from that tree. But that tree of life, that is mine to eat. And we can eat from it freely as much as we want to. Okay? So James, I was just there. How did I turn? There's no wind here. Okay, James 1. Let's go to 21. Okay, right away. James 1:21. King James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, that's King James for you, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, most people will say, well, that's like souls needed to get saved. No, he's talking about the soul of the believer. When I first got into the book of James, I said this book was not written to believers. It had to be written to unbelievers. There's a preacher out there. I won't mention his name. I got free from that, too. I used to mention preacher's name too much. I got free from that. But fasting really set me free from that. He said that the book of James was written to James' brethren, Jewish brethren, who are not born again yet, because of what James says. There's some pretty nasty stuff in the book of James about believers. Well, you know what? It's about believers. It's exactly what it is. And there it is, the engrafted word, the implanted word. That word planted in is used in the parables of the sower. It's the same word. It's a sown word. The implanted word, which is able to what? Sozo your soul. Now, this is all in a nutshell I'm teaching here today, okay? This is all part of the fasting, right? At the beginning, I began to mention about the soul. The fasting is an x-ray machine, God's x-ray machine. It shows you what's the content of your soul, the part of you that was not born again, the part of you that needs to be transformed into his image. That's the part of us. When this is back in 2008, I believe, I woke up a Saturday morning, and the Lord spoke to me as soon as I woke up. Wasn't even out of bed. And he said, the one thing that I'm looking for more than anything else in my people is their transformation into my son's image. And that's not my spirit. That's my soul. He said, that's the thing he's looking for more. We've got teaching on everything else, but how to be transformed into his image, into our soul. So one more here. I want to share this. Let's go to Matthew 17. I'm gonna roast a sacred cow right now. Matthew 17. I have to touch on this. I'm sure I'm going over a little bit, but you know what? That's okay. Because this has to be said. And I'm doing this because I want to get this on YouTube, because I don't have no teaching on fasting on my YouTube channel yet. And this is gonna be my first one. Matthew 17. Let's go to it. 14 to 21. I still hear to this day teachings that the demon is what Jesus was addressing in verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Okay? Now let me tell you something right now. The reason they say that it's the demon, and you know there's some translations out there, they actually put the word demon in italicized, and it's nowhere near in the Greek. And the demon was just a part of the problem. If you read through all of this here, and I'm going to break it down real quick here. First of all, the man had brought his son to his disciples. So basically today, it'd be like somebody bringing their son to the church. And according to this, to what Jesus said, or the man said, your disciples were not able to cure him. So what did Jesus do? What did he do? What did he say? 17. O faithless and perverse generation. Faithless. Number one. First mention of unbelief. Same Greek word, just different in the English. Then you go into verse 20. Because of your belief. The disciples went to Jesus afterwards. And they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. Other places we read, Jesus said, because of your little faith. The word little faith literally means puny or underdeveloped faith in the Greek. So here Jesus is addressing the unbelief and not the demon. And I'll prove it to you. Jesus not only addresses the demon, but then he says, he used the word cure. So the demon, once the demon was out, Jesus had to heal the boy from the damage that the demon had done to that little boy. So you got a deliverance. You've got a healing. Then Jesus said, you will speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed. Obstacles. Then he goes into the latter part of verse 20. Nothing in the Greek, not even one thing shall be impossible to you. So it's got nothing to do with the demon. It's got to do with the unbelief, which brings me back to what the Lord showed me in 2008. Pierre, sickness is not the issue, but unbelief. If you're sitting under a teaching in a church that is teaching that God is allowing, I mean, I've even heard preachers saying that God puts sickness on people. But you got other people that are a little bit nicer. They're saying that God allows disease. I heard this. Somebody took me to a Benny Hinn crusade after I got saved. The one thing that stood out to me for the whole time I was there, and I was sitting up in the bleachers, I just got to say, I still have my long hair, earrings, the whole thing. He said, if you think that God is putting this disease or allowing this disease to be put on you to teach you something, then why are you running to the doctor? Why are you running to the doctor? So if God did allow disease to remain in your body or to come in your body, we should stay home and not run to the doctor. What's the first thing you do when you feel pain in your body? What is the first thing you do? I know what you do, because you do what I do. I don't go to the doctor. I try not to go to the doctor. I'm working on my faith. I'm just saying, you're looking for some ways to alleviate the pain. Automatically. God put that inside of us. Because you know what? God never created the human body to go through pain, disease, sickness, or anything like that. Another reason why a lot of people associate this whole Matthew 17 here with the demon is because the word out is used three times. The word out. Especially in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting, which is associated with the demon. But I'll tell you, this is the difference here between what the word says and what the word means. Big difference. You ever had a conversation with somebody and you say something, you're saying, okay, I heard what you said. Well, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you, we got so much wrong doctrine in the church because we read the word. Okay, that's what it says. But what did you really mean, Jesus? And that's where the praying in tongues come into play. This is where the fasting comes into play. This is where the meditating the word comes into play. And let me throw this in before I go, okay? I don't dare meditate only a couple verses anymore. I got free from that. I meditate at least the whole chapter. And I even go further. I like to meditate the whole epistle. Because you know what? When God gives you one verse, did you notice there's at least 5 or 10 or 15 verses before that? Did you notice there's at least 5 or 10 or 15 verses after that verse? Yeah. I want to understand that verse, but I need to understand it the way God intended for that verse to be understood in context with the rest of the letter. I appreciate your time.